Please be seated. I have to tell you that Jonah is one of my favorite books in the Bible, and David is right that we only read a portion of it. We could actually read the entire book in 10, maybe 12 minutes. It's four chapters. We caught a little bit of chapter 3, which is a chapter that no one has ever read. It's amazing, other than David, of course, just did it a second ago, and we just heard it in this space. But we rarely spend much time thinking about chapter 3 because we all focus on chapter 1. Who can tell me what are some of the major things that happened in chapter 1? What's that?
Ship sink, oil swamp.
There's a, you've summarized it into just two quick sentences. The ship sinks, which it really didn't. It didn't go down. But there was a whale or a fish animal, something that is in the sea that swallowed up Jonah. Anything else that we know in chapter 1 of Jonah? It's actually, I looked for art on Jonah. There's nothing on chapter 3 in Jonah that we could use for art here, that's any good. I could have drawn something, and it would have been awful. I'm not a very good artist. All of the art is related to the sea and Jonah being swallowed by this gigantic water animal and spit up back on the shore. And he was doing that because he was asked by God to go to a place called Nineveh, which was the arch enemy of the people of Israel. He was told to go to Nineveh, to this capital city, and he was told to preach to them, and he went in the exact opposite direction. He was going and he was getting on a boat to go to Tarshish, which is in what is present-day Spain. And so he was in Israel going to Tarshish, which was really, at that time, as far as they knew existed. They didn't know any further out. So Tarshish was the exact opposite way as far as they could, as Jonah could go. That's where he was aiming. And that's when the storm rose, made the ship almost capsize, and they threw him into the water, and the storm went down, and he was swallowed by a sea animal and spit up onto the shore. That all happened in chapter 1. Chapter 2 is a prayer when Jonah is in the belly of the fish. And chapter 3, we just heard a little bit of chapter 3. Chapter 3 begins with, oh yes, God called him a second time. And Jonah said, okay, I've got to go. And he went like this. He was totally unexcited about this job. He was unexcited because it was, doing something that is totally against human nature. He was called by God to go to be with his enemies and to talk to them about God and tell them, he told them that they were going to be destroyed. He didn't give them any hope. That was Jonah's preaching moment. That's what we have in chapter 3. Now, I'll get to chapter 4 in a second. Biblical literalists have a hard time with this story. They have a hard time because they say, oh yes, Jonah was swallowed by this fish and then spit up on after 3 days. He lived in the fish for 3 days. He was spit up onto the shore. Biblical literalists have a hard time with this. They say, yeah, anything's possible with God is how they respond to this. But from people who are looking at this story as a teaching method on how God reacts to the world, this is a very powerful story. It's a little tongue-in-cheek. There's a lot of humorous things. The reality is the most believable thing in the entire book of Jonah is that he was swallowed by a sea animal and spit up on the shore. That's the most believable thing. Now, because you have that he heard this and decided to get on a ship and go, and then there was this gigantic storm that rose up, and Jonah didn't even wake up. He was silent. They had to go stir him up to say, "Oh, wait, our boat's about to go down," and Jonah was just kind of resting. That's unbelievable. And then you also have in this third chapter where the people of Nineveh actually changed their ways when all that Jonah said to them was, you all are going to die in 40 days. That's what he told them. And they said, oh, we're going to turn around and we're going to... And these are not people that are that felt like the Israelites were good people. These are the people who had conquered Israel. So it's beyond imagination. And then we get to chapter 4, and Jonah's out there moping and saying, I knew God would forgive these people, and I don't really like these people, and I wish God hadn't done that. God provides a bush to grow up over the top of Jonah and give him shade. Also somewhat unbelievable. There is so much unbelievable in this book, but it's not about being believable. It's about what the message of this entire book is. 4 chapters, it really boils down what's really important about our relationship with God and our relationship with the people around us. We are like Jonah. We are like Jonah. Because when we get to tough things, when we are feeling like we're called, we know that we need to be doing something to change the things that are going on around us, we either do two things. We don't do anything. We sit silent. Or we say, I need to go into the other room. We scoot off into the other room. We go away from the situation. But God is calling us to go step into things. To go talk to the people that don't agree with us. To work on collaboration. To work on compromising. Figuring out that the people on the other side, they have valuable things to say as well. Across the city right now, on a hill, there are people arguing. Our leaders are arguing. And they're arguing about things the reality is that they agree on. They're doing that, and they're standing their positions, and they're not unwilling to listen to what the others are saying. They're unwilling to make a little adjustments in the things that they're doing because they have found a position and they're standing still. They are doing as Jonah wanted to do. They can't possibly have anything good. They are sharing. They get on the news. They get in the newspapers. They're quoted as saying bad things about those other people. And whichever party it is, that's what they're doing, because they are holding their position as something that they cannot possibly believe that the other party could have anything good to say about. That's not what living in community is about. That's not what we're called to do as people of God. We are called, as Jonah was called, we are called to go to those people that we don't agree with, that we don't like, and we are called to love them. We are called to realize that they all have God's blessing and God's grace. And that's the core message of the book of Jonah. The core message of the book of Jonah is what I believe is God's grace is not for just our group. God's grace is for everybody. God's grace reaches to the furthest corners of the world. God's grace is an open invitation for all people to join us. It's not just for the people on our team or the people in our city. It's not for the people who are Republicans or the people who are Democrats. God's grace is for everybody. And the only way that we pass that message on is by be willing to communicate with people who don't agree with us. To consider that they may have something to offer to a solution that we are trying to face in our lives. That is the message of this book. And it's something that we need to take into every part of our lives. And we also have this gospel passage that talked about repentance. And when we think about that word, we think about repentance, we think it's, I need to list all of the things that I've done bad in my life. And it could be a lengthy list for me. Long list, everything that I've done. But repentance is really seeing the world in a new way and adjusting to it. Jesus came into the world and he began his ministry in today's gospel lesson. And they said they repented. They adjusted their worldview. The same is true in the book of Jonah. Jonah had to adjust his worldview to realize that it wasn't just about his inside group. It was about those people that he hated most of all. I hope that you will take from these readings and in this season of Epiphany, when we're taking the light out into the world, you will consider ways that you can engage the people that you really don't want to engage. Hope that you can communicate with them, that you can learn something from them, so that you can grow in your life and in our communal life together. That is the power of this story. It's a way of thinking about the world differently, where everybody is given God's grace. We just need to share it to make the world a better place. So don't follow the example of Jonah. Do the opposite. Go forward into the things. Look at how you can communicate. Look how you can compromise and collaborate, because that will make not only you stronger, it will make us stronger. Amen.